This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. April is Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. We have talked about that in several interviews throughout the month, and our last one of the series with the Douglas Cares Executive Director, Sarah Wickersham, and your first time in studio. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
So give folks an overview about what Cares is and what it does.
Douglas Cares has been part of this community since 1994. We were established to help give children a voice and help protect their story and guide them through the process of telling the world when they have experienced abuse or neglect and be able to be that voice for them in the court process or through child welfare if it needed to go that way. We do forensic interviews, which is where a child can talk about what happened to them in a safe space with a trained interviewer who knows, you know, how to guide that process without leading the child or getting, you know, inaccurate information. We do medical exams to see if there's any physical evidence of abuse on a child's body. And then we have a team of highly specialized therapists and skills trainers to help the family heal from the trauma after that has come through.
So while it's been around for a long time, mm-hmm. you're fairly new.
I am. I took over as the director in July 2021, so last year. I've been there around 9 months now. It's a really exciting opportunity, and I love to be in this spot in our community.
So what was your background before that?
I have I've worked a lot with my training is in psychology, mental health, and public health. I have worked with children and families for about the last 15 years. Most recently, I was the treatment manager at the Douglas County Juvenile Department Residential Treatment Programs, where we saw a lot of children who were in child welfare custody who had such intense behavioral concerns that they could no longer live safely in the community. And we ran that treatment facility for them to help reintegrate them into the community later.
So has all your background been around here then?
All of my career has been around here, yes. I've lived in Douglas County for the last 17 years.
So what brought you here to begin with?
I came from Sacramento, and my husband and I had children in Sacramento and decided that we wanted a smaller, safer, more community-minded place to raise our boys. So we moved up here to raise our boys.
So how many staff does CARES have?
Douglas CARES has 16 staff. That includes two forensic interviewers, two medical examiners, two family advocates, three trauma therapists, two skills trainers, and our support staff, as well as myself.
So what kind of backgrounds do those folks have in terms of, you know, professional education, that kind of thing?
Yeah, there's intensive training for a forensic interview position that includes the interview training along with some child development training to understand how children think and how they answer questions and how to make them comfortable. Our medical examiners are both nurse practitioners with extensive training in sexual assault in children so that they know how to recognize that when it's presented in front of them. Our family advocates have specialized training through the National Children's Alliance, which is a national child abuse prevention organization. Our therapists are all master's level clinicians with specialization in trauma work. Our skills trainers have significant training around the bachelor's level in trauma work and child development.
Obviously, a very intense line of work to get into. What draws people into wanting to work in this field?
Myself and my amazing team are drawn to this work because we see the potential in every child. We see what amazing things they can bring to the world if we let them. And sometimes when kids are hurt, it kind of dampens that a little bit, and we want to uncover that and share their story and bring about who they can really be.
So when you talk about the services you provide, kind of go over what kinds of help's available.
after the first phase when children enter our agency is the forensic interview and medical exam, and then advocacy through the court process, service referral if they need to see somebody other than us in the community. That could be like the Family Development Center, FAIR, or other agencies that serve children and families. We have that piece, and then our trauma treatment side includes the therapy and skills training, more coordination. We coordinate with the local schools and other service providers as the child moves through that journey.
What about the referrals? When people maybe see a situation, they've got their suspicions, or maybe they're in law enforcement and they're aware of it. How do folks get kids from point A to B and end up, you know, interfacing with your group?
All of our referrals come from child welfare or the law enforcement agencies. So for a private citizen, if you see something that concerns you, we would call the Oregon Child Abuse Hotline, and that group will cross-report between law enforcement and child welfare. And if a forensic interview or a medical exam is indicated, they will go ahead and refer to us. We do take some therapy referrals from some other partners in the community, but most of our referrals come from law enforcement and child welfare.
And you're really working with a lot of different organizations then?
We do. We work with many different organizations throughout the community. Our two main partners are DHS Child Welfare and the law enforcement agencies. We also interface pretty consistently with the district attorney's office as we are in support of families when they go toward prosecution of the child abuse or neglect where the law has been broken. We have a lot of other partners in the community where we do cross referrals for services and coordinate our work together, including all the school districts, the Douglas ESD, FAIR, FARA, the Family Development Center, Peace at Home, Mercy Hospital, and ADAPT. And then we work on different task forces like the Task Force on Family Violence, Creating Community Resilience, and the Human Trafficking Task Force, just to name a few.
And also your location, at least for the last few years, has been kind of strategic in terms of some of the other folks you work with being literally right there pretty much together.
Right. We share a parking lot with DHS Child Welfare. Our address is on Umpqua Street, but our back lot butts up against the Child Welfare back lot, so they can, walk right over to us when they need us, and they can help. They can walk kids over to us when kids and families need us as well.
And obviously, there's a lot of times when somebody starts out maybe at DHS or one of the other places, and it's clear to those folks that ultimately where they need to go is maybe somewhere else, and in some cases, might be you guys.
That happens at times. DHS will know if we're the right fit for a family, and they will refer over to us and bring them along to receive our services.
Talk about kind of the problem of child abuse in general. What kinds of issues lead to it?
Child abuse is a really varied issue, especially in Douglas County. We have come to know in our work that almost all of the families we work with love their children and want to do right by them and want to care for them. The kinds of things that happen when that falls down are generally around like extreme stress in the family. Domestic violence can lead to child abuse. Drug abuse, drug addictions can lead to child abuse. Poverty, houselessness. All of the bigger stressors also put stress on parents, and parents who have to then care for children when they're under a lot of stress sometimes don't do as well as they would hope. So we see that a lot. And then there's the other side of the spectrum with people who are actually predatory toward children, and we see and have to deal with those issues as well.
So for the parents of the non-predatory side, have a lot of them gone through bad upbringings and maybe experienced abuse against them, and then they end up kind of a generational sort of thing?
Yeah, we use the term generational trauma, and just as you mentioned, that often describes a person who has been abused as a child themselves and doesn't have the skills or the knowledge for how to raise children in a healthy way when they get to be having children. And those families are the ones that are the easiest to work with. There's a lot of growth and potential in those families, and we love to partner with them and help build a safer, healthier family with them.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Sarah Wickersham, Executive Director of Douglas Cares, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1 later this afternoon. Shannon Sebastian has your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And listen to tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. We're going to talk to another Republican candidate for Governor Stan Pulliam as we continue talking to candidates from both parties and explore some of the issues with ballots going out today for the May primary election in Douglas County and around the state. And we're talking about Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. Sarah Wickersham, Executive Director of Douglas Cares. Mm-hmm. We were talking right before the break about the problem of child abuse and what leads to it. And as families are working through it, I mean, I know that you're newer in the last few months here, but you've been in the area. How much has this whole 2 years of COVID impacted the child abuse issues?
Yeah, that's a big question, and it's one that worried me greatly as I kind of saw it coming. Youth and children, especially starting around age 10, 11, and up into their teen years, they get to a developmental stage where they need their peers more than they need adults. And so being home and being isolated, all of us in the field have really seen an uptick in mental health concerns among our youth. And also that increases the stress on parents for all the issues that lead to them breaking in a way that is then detrimental to their children. It also has opened up the ability for online predatory behavior because kids spend so much more time online with the shutdowns. So it has really increased this issue across the board from just parents who are struggling to get by all the way to the worst predators that you see online.
Well, and especially in 2020, when everything, we had that spring period of everything pretty much being at home, you had parents who might be both working from home, kids who were doing school from home. Oh, and by the way, you live in a small apartment. The stress level just starts going up, even in a normally stable, good family, let alone other ones that already have some serious issues.
Right. It has increased the stress levels on families across the board. Parents at home, children at home, everybody stuck in a small space, trying to navigate online education, online work, online. And I can speak to that from personally. I had three children, and the four of us were all home, trying to navigate that situation ourselves. And it was very, very stressful. Add to that concerns of money, of losing housing, of losing a job, and these just keep compounding to the point that families don't have anywhere to turn.
And I know situations as well have probably come up where somebody is a victim, but because they were at home with the predator, it's hard. And again, if you're in a small environment, it's hard to find an opportunity to cry out for help.
Yes, agreed. We work closely with Peace at Home. And anecdotally, I will leave them to answer questions about actual numbers that they've seen. But anecdotally, we've heard that story a few times where victims were home with predators, with abusers, and unable to be out of the home in any place where someone else might see them, unable to cry out for help, stuck and scared.
So how is Douglas Cares funded?
Douglas Cares receives funding from a few different sources. We receive community funding from the amazing Douglas County community partners and citizens through the Greater Douglas County United Way. We receive grant funding and state legislative dollars because we serve under the law enforcement arm as part of the child advocacy center. We are also able to bill for a number of our services, including therapy and medical exams that we provide on site.
So when a child comes to you, and obviously, as we've said, there's a lot of different things that different services you might be providing. How long term can some of this contact be?
We have worked with some children up into adulthood. What our policy is, once a child receives services at Douglas Cares, at any point in their life, they can come back and receive therapy services from us again, even if they get into adulthood. Typically, our first referrals are 18 and younger, although we will step in and we welcome young people up until 21 or 23 who are particularly sensitive about being seen in a hospital setting or in a different kind of setting for the kind of services we provide.
And talk about, you have a board of directors, right?
We do. We have a board of directors. We just increased by 3 additional members. So I believe that puts us at 10 people from the community who stand up for the mission of Douglas Cares.
So what's their role as directors?
The board of directors is there to champion the cause of Douglas Cares in the community and to govern our agency. They set the priorities that we work toward. They help with the budgeting. They help find funding sources and connect us with people who will who want to support our mission. They're very active right now. We're looking at beginning a capital campaign to potentially purchase the building that we're currently in. So they have that project on their plates.
And that's probably one of those big projects that will take a while.
Yes, we're anticipating about 12 months for that project.
What would be the advantages of actually owning the building?
Right now, the wonderful people that we rent from, we pay a significant amount toward just the upkeep and the rental of the building. If we were to be able to pull that back, we could use all of that money to provide more services for the children that we serve.
Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned the law enforcement part, talk about how much you work with these law enforcement agencies.
The law enforcement agencies around here are great supporters of us and very consistent partners. We work together on the investigative side of every child abuse case. They come to our sites and they are there during the child's forensic interview or medical exam, not in the room, but on site. And they help us, you know, ask the right questions and be a part of that process to really support their investigation as they move forward. We do the piece that requires that extra care with the child and the family, and they turn around and they do all the other parts of the investigation that we aren't out on the ground to do. And then our evidence is compiled together to move that through the court process or for child welfare to make a determination about whether or not a child is safe in the home.
And obviously, some of these situations are pretty greedy.
Yeah, we deal with, we work with some of the saddest stories in Douglas County. Some of our children are hurt to the point that it keeps us up at night. We can't help but take some of it home with us.
Yeah, and I'm curious how you deal with that, all that intake of knowledge and information. I mean, do you have kind of a system in place for debriefing with each other periodically or getting out of the building and doing things, or how do you do that?
We do. We have a lot of professional support, and that looks like training, supervision meetings where we kind of talk about the cases that are challenging for us or emotionally challenging for us. We have regular debriefing sessions. We have a monthly breakfast where the team goes off-site and into a restaurant and talks, doesn't talk about work, just for us to be humans together and share and be, you know, have a space away from work to decompress and be okay. We care for each other in very specific ways that are trauma-informed and made to help us deal with these difficult things.
People want to find out more about CARES and the work you do. Where can you send them?
You can visit our website at douglascares.org, or you can call the office.
All right, Sarah Wickersham, Executive Director, Douglas Cares. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.